Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Prime time on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game. A unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 405, Big Sue out today. Joe Harrington will join us at 5:30. He's back on every Friday here exclusively on The Fan at that time, so tune in for that. We have in the news coming up at 4:30. We can talk to Antonio Brown in a moment. Somebody text, too. You guys were talking about the gambling segments that we do. We just had one last hour. Colin Wilson, Action Network. No more bar two. What did I miss, says one texter. Oh, you missed nothing.
Hate Lane Kiffin.
Dave Bar two. See, I don't even think of him as really a gambling guy, although he does come from gambling angle. I just think of him as a show friend, and Dave will be around, and we'll have him on periodically, obviously. I love Dave. Dave's the man.
Of course.
And then somebody else, Deal, brings up a great point, and I hate to say that I had forgotten these years, but the glory years of the great Burt Sugar. And you know,
is that the Doodly Squad Diddly drop?
Doodly Squad Diddly.
You don't remember Burt? Do you know anything about Burt?
I wasn't here when you guys did Burt Sugar, so I don't know. I don't know.
Burt Sugar was greatness, and he was an old boxing guy, always in Vegas, loved to bet, and he would come on and he would give us his lovable losers every week. He was true greatness, and he is, he passed away, or else we'd have him on. But maybe we could have his wife on. We should call his wife, see if she'll come on. But Burt's, nobody tops Burt, I will say that. Deal is right. No one was better than the great Burt Sugar. All right. Antonio Brown's back with the Raiders.
That changed quickly.
It sure did. Because the big headline this morning was he had unfollowed Derek Carr and the Raiders on Instagram, which is a headline now.
And he also, some of the words,
unfollow, Mike?
Some of the words that he used against Mike Mayock came out. Although he is now denying all of that.
They said he called him a cracker.
Yeah.
And Mayock, you think that's what put Mayock over the top?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Well, yeah, Brown has... They put Brown on the podium today. So basically, here's what happened. I'll just lay this out for you. Antonio Brown, as we were talking about yesterday, Suk and I were both... Our hunch was he would be back with the Raiders. And the reason he would be back with the Raiders is because of money. So here's how it played out. Antonio Brown gets into it with Mike Mayock. Mayock's pissed that he put his fine letter up on social media. They get into it. Brown, what'd they say? He calls him a cracker. He has to be held back by Vontaze Burfict, of all people. And then he says, fine me for this. And he kicks, you know, he punts the football or whatever. So they boot him. And then the reports are that they're going to suspend him. And maybe even they're talking about voiding his contract and just being done with him. Well, shocking what happens when there's $30 million on the line. I guess the real question was, and this is what we were asking yesterday, is Antonio Brown, what does he feel about the $30 million? How much does he care about $30 million? Because if the Raiders were able to void his contract because of all his shenanigans, he would be out that money. And he wasn't getting that kind of money from anybody else if he hit the free agent market before the season. So we found out how much Antonio Brown cares about $30 million, because I guarantee what happened is Drew Rosenhaus sat his ass down. That's his agent. And he said, look, man, I got to tell you something. You don't get your $30 million bucks or $29 million or whatever it is. You don't get it unless you get to week one. So straighten up, and here's what you're going to do. And it was, the report this morning was that he went into a team meeting and he spoke tearfully and apologized to his teammates.
And the team leaders were standing with him while he was speaking. So Derek Carr and all those guys were up there with him. And
showing solidarity.
It was an emotional apology, they said.
Yeah, and so, of course, why does he do that? Because he knows he wants the money.
Because $30 million is a lot of money.
So then, you know, Mayock, he got undressed by Brown. There's no question about that. But we all know who calls the shots in Oakland, and it's John Gruden. And it sounds like now the reports are that John Gruden never thought Antonio Brown wouldn't be playing. Mayock may have been discussing ways to handle Antonio Brown, but it sounds like Gruden never had him out of the game plan. So now John Gruden, after practice today, he said Antonio Brown is back. Everybody's moving on. He will play. And they did put Antonio Brown on the podium today. And he said he did not call Mike Mayock a cracker. He said he would never use that language. He said that it was not a dust up at practice. Rather, he just spoke to the GM man to man, one on one. And of course, probably he didn't say this, but I'm guessing what he will eventually say if they keep talking to Antonio Brown is that it's the media's fault for blowing it all out of proportion, right? Isn't that generally the route they go?
And I am curious what you think about this. And I've been seeing this a lot on social media today and from, you know, not conspiracy theorist people is, do you think this appeared way more extreme than it was because of the 24-hour news cycle world that we live in now? Or is it because Adam Schefter is the guy who's reporting this and you trust Adam Schefter that you think he did call him a cracker and he did yell and scream and curse him out and Antonio Brown's lying?
Oh, they got into it.
Right.
I don't know what he said, but it was enough to make Mayock consider. It was pretty obvious they were considering moving on from Antonio Brown, whether that's Gruden, maybe not Gruden, but Mayock, because he absolutely dressed him down. So I don't know what verbiage he used. I have no idea. But, oh, it happened. And Antonio Brown is trying to downplay it because, accountability is hard, right? Like, I mean, Antonio Brown's a guy that's not going to take a lot of accountability for much of anything. It's always somebody else's fault. So this is to be expected from him. I don't know. I wouldn't really believe much that comes out of his mouth. And Mayock's pretty tight-lipped about it. So isn't it weird in hindsight how Hard Knocks showed very little of the Antonio Brown situation? You know, you watch that season and you go back and you think about it. That was one of the most explosive situations in preseason football we've had in years, and they didn't show 95% of it.
Each episode, you had a little Antonio Brown, a very little bit.
Yeah, but it wasn't anything about it. It was always once, him putting on a show.
Once it was about the helmet. Once it was about the feet. The other eight times, it was about nothing. It was him riding a hot air balloon and his kids being cute, asking where Ben Roethlisberger was, and him being all AB with the clip with the analytics guy. I mean, it was that and not the drama, which I know it's a TV show and they're putting out there what they want you to see for the most part, the Raiders being they. But I was watching that and going, maybe it's not that big of a deal in the Raiders, Raiders locker room. No. That's just what they wanted you to see.
Yeah, it was. It just shows you how sanitized those. Well, that example, and then the DOS kid, the wide receiver, just shows you how sanitized those shows are, and they're going to put out their own storylines. And you know, like the DOS kid was a wide receiver that they were playing up on that show. Like he was great, and Gruden loved him. They're going to keep him, and great story. And he got cut. And John Gruden, we played the clip for you. John Gruden came out and was like, "Yeah, that was your storyline, not mine. Knock on wood, if you're with me." So anyway, the Raiders are a mess. Mike Mayock, the thing about Mayock to me is sometimes I feel like I get that there have been a lot of analytic type guys or media types, like John Hollinger comes to mind from the NBA, pretty analytic guy.
Although I don't know how much success he actually had in Memphis.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So he was an NBA numbers guy, media guy for ESPN, and then they hired him as in the front office with the Grizzlies, and I don't believe he's there anymore.
I think he's still with the team, but I think they changed his role from like player development and GM type stuff to kind of, again, more of the analytics stuff.
All right. Well, and there's a lot of guys that, well, not a lot, but there are examples of guys moving from the booth into more prominent sports roles. And Mike Mayock was an NFL draft analyst. That's what he was. And the Raiders, and he's really good at it, obviously smart football guy. The Raiders hired him as their GM. And I just, and that's great in terms of perhaps Mike Mayock will build a really good roster there and he can handle the cap management side of it. And he can work well with John Gruden. And I'm not saying he wouldn't be successful, but I think oftentimes teams overlook the idea that somebody's just going to come straight from NFL draft analysis, and players and even others in the organization are just going to instantly respect them. I mean, it's like Bill Belichick, you know, he's got full fingers with rings, man. And that's why he's respected. Mike Mayock, like what's he done? Who is he to the players? And so when you get into it with Antonio Brown and you're Mike Mayock and it's just your first or second year as a general manager straight out of just covering the NFL draft, I think it's crazy that more thought isn't put into that dynamic of these hires. I mean, Mayock has to deal with the players and he has to deal with some egomaniacal players and some selfish guys. And you got to deal with a lot of wrongdoing. Like, how does the Chiefs GM, I don't know who the Chiefs GM is off the top of my head, but you know, dealing with the whole Tyreek Hill thing, you know, it's just the Brown, how did the Browns handle Baker Mayfield? I mean, these human dynamics come into play way more than we know. And it's just fascinating to me that they just think anybody can go in and be a GM.
Well, the weird
thing, if he's just, I mean, he's a smart football guy. I'm not saying he's just anybody, but at the same time, there's a lot more to the job, and dealing with Antonio Brown is not easy. And Mayock found that out. I mean, I tell you what, man, he got egg on his face in this deal.
The weirdest thing about this is that all of the names that we see tied to jobs recently outside of Mayock, Lewis Riddick with ESPN, right? But he used to be a scout. He used to be in the front office of NFL teams. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, used to be a scout. So when they're tied to the jobs of the Jets and the Browns and all these things that you've been reading, it makes sense. Mayock played, but he never did anything in a front office. He just went right into broadcasting. And that's why that hire was so strange, because he has no experience in that outside of he played football and that was it.
Right. Then those, you know, they're risky hires. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Look, there's not any one thing that makes you good at any one job. There's a lot that goes into it. I feel like they don't really think about the idea that, oh, this GM is going to have to discipline players. He's going to have to, you know, sit down and talk to players and coaches and get along with everybody and create a culture. And there's a lot that goes into it. And the Raiders, I don't know, man. I don't know. I like John Gruden. I really do. I think John Gruden is good at what he does. But you put John Gruden in a culture like the Raiders that just can't get out of its own way, I don't know how much success he can have. All right, Antonio Brown's back. Coming up next, NFL props. Which quarterback most likely benched with odds? Next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, Radio.com. NFL prop bets coming up in the news next segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of texts. Better You Today texts. And I was talking about Mike Mayock and the Raiders in Antonio Brown. 55305. Mike Mayock played the game. A lot of you pointing out Mike Mayock played. I know he played. Look, guys. There are a lot of people who played football who know a ton about football, but that does not mean that they would make a good GM. All I'm saying is when you hire a GM, I feel like that's a position that you need somebody who's done that job before, not somebody who, yes, may know football, but just, you know, 2 weeks ago was, or the year before was analyzing the NFL draft. I just think they need to be more careful. Franchises need to be more careful when they're making these hires. It's not that Mike Mayock couldn't come in like in an ancillary role in terms of, you know, working on the cap with the assistant GM or even make him an assistant GM, give him that sort of access to the position and see if he can grow into that role. But I don't know. I think this is the danger. Again, it's not that he doesn't know football. Of course he does. He's played. He gets respect. But I just think that when Antonio Brown's looking at Mike Mayock, he's like, what? Dude, I saw you on the NFL draft a year ago. Who the hell are you? And I think that that matters. I think a GM with experience is important.
I think it's a little too early to tell, but the Niners did something similar by hiring John Lynch to be their GM and president of football operations.
Yeah, they sure did. And all I'm saying is that's risky.
Well, I think so risky. Far it has been a little bit risky for them because you've seen the Niners make some moves and people go, why did John Lynch decide to do that? Just because they come from a different mindset than someone who's already been a GM or been working closely with the GM. Another example would be of one who failed absolutely miserably was Matt Millen for the Lions. I mean, he was horrific.
Yeah.
And I don't think he did anything front office before he got that job. He was just a player.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know his history enough. But, yeah, man, that's – and, again, there are going to be times when you're going to have to hire somebody or you feel like the best best qualified candidate comes to you.
That was his only job in the front office was with the Lions. He was a player beforehand with Millen.
So you get a handful of candidates, and the best guy that jumps out to you is one that doesn't have experience. I just say proceed with caution, especially in that job, because ultimately what you want to do as the GM – Look, Gruden's the man in Oakland, right? So compliment him. You know, make his job easier. And I think Mayock is responsible for making his job much harder by escalating the Antonio Brown thing. I wouldn't have fined him. Just waive the fine, man. Say, hey, man, sit him down. Say, sorry, this has not been easy. It's been a tough preseason. Maybe we can move forward. I'm not going to fine you, even though I have the right to. Let's shake hands and move on. I think it probably would have been over. But Mayock's a hard ass. You know, he's no-nonsense type of guy, and I think it got him in trouble in this instance. And maybe a more experienced GM wouldn't have done that. But either way, like I just feel like the Raiders are dysfunctional. I think the Browns are like this. I think the Lions are like this. No matter what good people you hire, they have trouble having success, even though they're good at what they do because of the culture and the environment. And I think the Raiders are one of those. I hope I'm wrong because I like the Raiders. I hope the Raiders do well this year and surprise some folks. Tough division, but, you know, maybe they will. BetOnline.ag has NFL prop bets I thought were interesting. One of them is, will Antonio Brown play a game for any team this season? Well, that they probably now took off the board because,
right.
Yeah, it was -250, yes, meaning if you bet $100, you have to bet $250 to win $100. So they thought he was going to play somewhere, and he indeed will, of course, with the Raiders. A couple of others on here. Quarterback most likely benched. I found this most intriguing.
Most likely benched. And this is the first quarterback benched or
I've got
generally?
Two. Yeah, just first.
Can I take a guess? Because I have two guesses.
Okay, but I'm gonna lay out two different bets.
Okay.
For you, the first bet is between the following guys: Joe Flacco of your Denver Broncos,
correct,
who's probably already benched, we don't even know it. Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Eli Manning. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or Case Keenum. Washington. Go.
Case Keenum.
First benched.
Because of Haskins. Now, I think Eli Manning will be second benched because of Daniel Jones.
I think it's Eli.
I think they're going to give Eli as much run as they can. I think Case Keenum is purely a placeholder until they feel like Haskins is ready or Keenum is bad enough. And to be honest, I think Eli's a little bit better than Case Keenum. So I'm going to say Keenum first, Eli second. It's not going to be Flacco because, as we found out yesterday, their backup is Brandon Allen. And who the hell is Brandon Allen? For the Broncos.
Rosen won't get the job over Fitzpatrick.
Well, Fitzpatrick will flame out in week 8 and throw 6 interceptions, and then Rosen will take the job for 2 weeks, and then it'll go back to Fitzpatrick.
Ooh, that's a good call.
This is what happened in Tampa last year. So I like Arians in Tampa this year. I think they're going to have a pretty good offense. I think Winston's going to have a good season. I don't think he's going to get benched.
Winston can stay the starter the whole year?
I think so.
Because of Arians?
Yes.
All right. I would go Eli 1. Ooh. You're right about Flacco's backup. I'd probably go Eli 1, Keenum 2 because of Haskins. Okay, here's the second one.
Okay.
Quarterback most likely benched or benched first. Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson, or Marcus Mariota?
That would be Marcus Mariota number one. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson two, Derek Carr three, Garoppolo four. Was there another one too?
Brissett
five, yeah. I don't think he's not getting benched. They just gave him money.
I don't know.
They're high on Brissett. I don't think Brian Hoyer is any better than he is. So,
but I tell you, Garoppolo hasn't looked good, man.
He has not, but they paid him a lot of money.
They'll ride him.
They're Nick Mullins' guy
gave him a shot in the arm last year.
But that's because Garoppolo was hurt.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if they've already seen he can come in and give him a shot in the arm. I go Mariota one there, too, of course. That's a pretty easy one. I don't know about Jackson. I think John Harbaugh is stubborn.
I really just don't.
Because RG3, I mean, come on.
Or McSorley, right, from Penn State also there.
Yeah.
I just really don't like Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's going to be any good as a quarterback. So prove me wrong, Lamar, but I think he could get benched if he just performs badly.
Sneaky in there, Derek Carr. Derek Carr could get the hook at some point.
Yeah, they've got three other quarterbacks there. So
Gruden, more likely to miss the most games with injury, Carson Wentz or Cam Newton?
I'm going to go ahead and say Cam Newton, Bob.
It's Cam because he's older.
Yes, and has had multiple recurring injuries. I feel like Carson Wentz's injuries are not necessarily, although I guess a back injury could be considered this, but I'm not sure if his injuries are going to come back to haunt him like Cam's shoulder injuries are.
Here's a good one. Who wins more games? Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, or Dwayne Haskins?
That's funny.
That's a great one.
I'm going to go ahead and say
because
Kyler Murray.
Kyler's a starter, but they're terrible. If Haskins comes in, he probably, well.
They're terrible.
Yeah, so Jones probably has the best team.
They're also terrible. Those are three bad teams. The Giants are probably the best team of those three. I'm going to say Kyler Murray by default because he's probably going to play all 16 games unless he gets hurt. So,
and he'll win two games.
Or three.
You know who I'm going with on that? I'm going Daniel Jones.
Of course you are. They bench Eli week two and Daniel Jones wins like six games.
Here come my Giants. Well, the Redskins. Redskins are another one I was talking about, like just systemic culture problems, just bad. That's Washington. I don't know if the Giants have that. And Daniel Jones looked pretty good in the preseason. Eli could get hurt, too.
True.
So
Daniel Jones looked great in the preseason.
Two other quick props from betonline.ag. Will Colin Kaepernick sign in the XFL? Plus 200, yes. Meaning you win $200 if you only bet 100.
I'm going to go ahead and say no on that one.
No, he ain't going there.
No.
And then most likely to retire after this season, Belichick, Brady, Roethlisberger, Breeze, or Manning? It's got to be Eli.
Or Roethlisberger. He's always talking about retiring.
Yeah, he is. I think Breeze keeps going. I think Brady keeps. I don't know. Brady? Yeah.
Brady's never going to retire. They're going to have to drag him off that field.
Really? You think he's one of those guys? I don't know. I think he's a guy that would hang it up. Belichick? What? I can't get a read on Belichick.
No. I mean, you guys talked about it the other day.
What's his deal?
Belichick leaves football. How much life does he have left? That's all he cares about.
I can't even imagine.
Although it doesn't appear as if he cares very much, but he cares.
It's a lot of information, so.
I'm going to rank those. Eli 1, Roethlisberger 2. I'm going to go Brady 3, Belichick 4, Breeze 5.
I'm going to go Roethlisberger, Manning, Breeze, Brady, Belichick.
Mm. Big Ben. How old is Big Ben?
I think he's 39.
Is he that old now?
I think.
Do you remember when he got drafted or were you like 4? I remember when Roethlisberger got drafted. He was in that draft. I just remember going, who?
He's 37, not 39.
37, okay. Yeah, I remember going, who? It was a kid from Miami of Ohio. Never watched him play in college. But they're like, big kid, good. He ended up being all right.
I was 15 when he was drafted.
He's all right. 15.
Yes.
All right. Young Mike over there. Big Sook is out. Coming up next, I think we are ready for In the News, September 6th edition. MAGA, you remember MAGA bro stirred it up at the bars a few weeks ago? We've got an update on him and what's going on there coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, I'd like to thank the listener that let me know that I'm a hero for doing the show by myself today. Although Mike's here. But yes, my heroics know no bounds. Coming up, we're going to talk about the heroics of one Hugh Freeze. That needs to be discussed. We also have Joey
so
Harrington.
Heroic.
Yeah, Joey Harrington's coming on 5:30 every Friday again this year. And he will be here in a little less than an hour. We will set your college football DVR with the club, high school football. Man, it's a whole thing. But right now it is September 6, 2019. It's time for the news. And I am your noted newsman. Today is National Lazy Moms Day. So you moms, just y'all lazy. There's also a Fight Procrastination Day. Are you
Wait,
a procrastinator?
So lazy moms and fight procrastination on the same day.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yes, I am a procrastinator.
You are. My wife is too. I am not. I'm a taskmaster and a hero.
Are you? My dad is kind of like this. Are you very particular and OCD about like cleaning the house and having things put away and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. I feel like
I'm more so than my wife is, but I'm still pretty procrastinating.
Yeah, so like there's stuff everywhere. Like every once in a while your house gets, you know, pretty messy and you're like, whoa.
Yes.
See, I don't let it ever get to that point. Everything's tidy at all times. I'm that guy. And that my wife is not. And that's, it's just, you know, you learn to, you know.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works. But no, I'm definitely OCD that way. I feel like I can't be my best self if I don't have everything in order. And I'll obsess over something, you know. Like a look, like we just moved, you know, moved houses, moved into this rental house that we're staying in for a few months. And I had to, like the first night I got there, I'm like, I got to get that closet set up. I got to get all my clothes in there, get everything hanging, you know, get everything in the right drawers. Just got to do it. Mike, remember MAGA, bro? Stirring it up at the bars with his Make America Great Again hat. This was a few weekends ago.
I was going to say, this seems MAGA bro could be a lot of people, but...
You don't remember this guy? We talked about this.
Yeah, I think I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and it came out... Well, he got assaulted, and two people got arrested. The follow-up to that story is that the two people arrested for assaulting him, charges dropped.
Oh, what?
Yeah. A Multnomah County grand jury returned a not true bill in his case. So they said, no, a crime was not committed.
So they're saying he's lying about being assaulted?
No, they're just saying a grand jury just looks at is there enough evidence to proceed to possibly that the crime was committed, and they said no.
Okay,
that's just what they call it, like the not true or the true.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so this means no probable cause that a crime was committed. Apparently, the man's wife told him to wear the hat out that night to see how he would be treated. So it was a big old bit. He was egging people on. And who knows? Maybe the grand jury's super political, you know?
When
it
you
is
were,
Portland.
When you were out Monday? Was that this Monday?
Yeah. Labor Day, bro.
Souk talked about...
Talk about heroics. Jason Sikanik doing the show on Labor Day by himself.
Yes.
I mean, with you, sort of.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Does that make you feel bad?
Same situation.
That we say that? We're solo, even though you're there.
I'm here.
Contributing
greatly. I'm helping. He had a story of someone over the weekend. He went to go watch the Oregon State game at a bar.
Oh.
And someone was just vehemently yelling political takes at the bar to his friend in the booth for like 40 straight minutes. And Souk said that he really wanted to confront the guy, but didn't want to be that guy. So he asked the bartender, and the bartender said that the boss said, just leave him be.
Well, yeah.
Souk left. And multiple people left because the guy was being like
that. Oh. Well, they did the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, right?
I'm just you could ask the guy to leave if he's being too loud. You don't have to say it's political. You can just say you're yelling.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so which side of the fence was he on? Does that matter?
I think he was a pro-Trump guy, but I don't think it really matters in that sense. It's if
you're
yelling political views, screaming them, like...
Well, what if you're yelling anything? Isn't that annoying to other customers?
If it wasn't... Like, let's say he was yelling about the Beavers game, would they go over and say, sir, you need to leave, you're yelling? Probably, right?
Yeah, you could probably just tell the guy, hey, man, calm down, bro.
Right.
And then
but that's what that guy wants, too, right?
You can kick him out.
he wants that confrontation just like this guy did because his wife told him to wear the hat.
Well, I'm stunned that Suk didn't confront him. Suk has a hard time not sticking his nose.
He did where say he spent 10 minutes talking to himself in his head like, what should I do? Yeah. Should I do something?
He's evolving.
And he decided to let it go.
Yeah. I think 5 years ago, dude's all up in that guy's business. And he's probably out all week because he's in jail for assaulting MAGA bro.
Probably.
Things to do in Portland this weekend. Mike, have you ever seen the Vox Swifts? You ever done that?
I have not. I do not know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know that?
No.
The birds? So if you go to Chapman Elementary, apparently it's a rite of passage here in Portland. Now, I have lived here a long time, and I have not seen it. But having talked to people that have seen it, it's apparently amazing. And, of course, they're birds. And they, for whatever reason, they're migrating to... Now, see, I'm going to butcher this. Okay, so you Vox Swift bros, you can text in and correct me. But they're migrating to Central America, and one of the places they stop is the chimney at Chapman Elementary in Portland.
Interesting.
And everybody sits on the hillside. You bring a blanket, maybe sneak in some booze. I don't know. And you sit there with the kids and you watch them as they move into the into the thing. And it's a whole thing.
How do you spell the bird?
Vox. It's a Vox Swift. I think it's V-A-U. I want to say it's V-A-U X, maybe. Anybody that's seen them,
there
text
you go.
In.
It's Vox's Swift.
Yeah, plural. Oh, Vox is Swift. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see the videos there?
Not yet.
What
just,
it looks like?
I just looked it up. So
supposedly pretty cool. And they're just chilling up there, you know, they go in and out of that thing. Anyway, you can do that this weekend if you want. For you parents of teens, I have some shocking news from a new study regarding their phone usage. And we'll get to that next. This is In the News on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, the Hot 5 at 5. A lot going on today. Antonio Brown is back. Tyreek Hill gets a contract. So that'll be at 5. We will have Set Your College Football DVR at 5:15. Joey Harrington, 5:30. Still got to get to Hugh Freeze talk. I mean, we've got a lot to cover.
When are we going to get to Hugh Freeze talk?
Yeah, I want to get to Hugh Freeze talk. It might have to be in the club.
I guess that is kind of clubby.
We can make it clubby.
Yeah.
We also have, this is clubby football audio, but we have finger in the butt talk, and that's got to go from 6 to 7.
I forget that the 5 o'clock hour on Fridays is basically set in stone.
Super sports.
So you're kind of just like, well, I guess we'll talk about this later.
We're going hard at sports next hour, but right now we're not. Hey, I have a story on cadaver. Did you ever... in college, like, did you ever do the, like, cadaver lab in anatomy or anything?
I never did that. No, I only had to take one or two science classes with my major, so I...
What was your major?
Broadcast journalism.
Oh, yeah. Hey, novel concept.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I only had to take two math and two science total, which was great. And in my science class, I took... I don't even remember.
What
I took,
you,
like, rocks for jocks and something else. Easy.
I'm sorry. What? Rocks for jocks?
Yeah, geology. 101.
Oh. Yeah, I get it now. I'm very smart, if you haven't noticed. Now, I loved the cadaver. I took anatomy, and I loved that. Would you have liked to have had that experience?
I don't think so.
It's fascinating.
It makes me a little skeeved out.
You get over that pretty quickly, I will say. I have a story on that in a second.
And I really don't like that smell of formaldehyde.
Cell phones are a part of life, Mike. You have a cell phone? Do you use a cell phone?
I do.
I do too.
I've got myself an iPhone 8 Plus right in front of me, in my hand right now.
Now, the teenagers, yeah, it's a little crazy with the phones. Now, my kid, he's now 20, and I felt like he was always really good about his phone in terms of, it was certainly a big part of his life, as that's just how they communicate at that age these days. But I felt like he was really good about putting it away when... you know, like dinner table or, you know, in areas where it wasn't appropriate. So I never had a problem with this. We never even had to talk to him about this. But I'm sure some of you parents out there have to deal with this constantly. And it can be a tough one because it is how kids communicate. So a new study in the journal Lancet says The time spent on cell phones has a much more harmful effect on teenage girls than boys. And this is because of the expectations that girls have on social media. Now, that I can see, too, because I always talk to my kid about, you know, like, what do you post on there? And, like, how do you feel about social media? What's your philosophy on it? And he's like, man, he's like, it's a lot of it's for the girls. He's like, I don't really care. I post some stuff. I interact with people, Snapchat and all that. But the girls, it's much more of a thing. So in this study, the head of it said, for children and for growing teens, the phone is a much bigger cause of high anxiety than we think. Even though we already sort of know that. During a recent class, the topic was anxiety brought about from our addiction to phones. And she says, we're all really obsessed with our phones because it's so connected to our lifestyle. We feel that we can't break from it. First of all, for parents, just understand and give your children permission to be free of it. It's part of their life, but it does not have to be with them at every moment. The study showed teens who use their phones a lot for social media report high levels of psychological stress, but the study doesn't blame social media entirely. Heavy phone use also leads to a lack of sleep and less physical activity. So she suggests maybe an hour before bedtime, you need to be free of any screen, give your brains a chance to, you know, sort of recalibrate for the day. That could be really good for teens.
I've always read that what is it called, blue light from the phone screens is really bad before you go to sleep.
Oh, we're all dying because of this, one way or the other, right? It's just a matter of how. What is your philosophy when you have children on this topic? Like, how are you going to handle this?
Man, that's one that's really tough for me because my nephew, the only kid in my life, I guess, at this point, my wife's sister's son.
How old do you think?
He is, I think, eight or nine.
Okay.
And they have very strict screen time rules for him. Very strict. And he's a great kid. He reads a lot. I mean, he's a very smart kid. But they really, really limit video game play and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when grandma's around, she gives him his phone and they always roll their eyes and stuff because she's trying to be nice grandma and stuff like that. So I see that and they go, I think that's a little bit too extreme. Now, as a kid myself, I didn't really have any screen time limits. Not that it was as much of an issue for me. But like playing video games and stuff, it was once you did your homework, you could play, and that was fine. I think I'd probably fall somewhere in the middle. I want there to be limits. Obviously, I don't want them on their phone or playing games 100% of the time, but if that's what they like to do, I don't want to take away their enjoyment completely either, you know?
Well, I think you see how they handle it, and then you calibrate from there, right?
It is something I've thought about, though, because watching how they do it with my nephew, with just how they're like, all right, time to give the phone back, can't have a screen, all that kind of stuff. It's like, ooh, it feels strict. But maybe it's necessary, too.
Yeah. My niece is three. One of my nieces is three. And I just got a text from my brother today who said she already asked for a phone. Her logic was, she said, well, I think, Daddy, you need to get me a phone because sometimes you will need to call me and we need to talk. And I'm like, holy crap. You know, when I was going through it, it was like, you know, maybe about 10 or 11, they start looking at it and be like, hey, this would be cool. But you don't really, I mean, I don't know. Our decision was based off of, hey, when he gets into a place where he's really missing out in terms of communicating with his peers and he needs one for that, because that is a part of their lives, then that's when we'll get him a phone. I think it ended up being he was probably 13.
But it's probably younger now.
It's way younger. And I think it is younger.
My nephew, like I said, he's around 9 or something like that.
Now there's a 3-year-old asking for it.
And he does not have a phone yet. But I think they've talked about it's very soon that they're going to give him one. But they said that a ton of kids in his school already have phones at 8 or 9 or whatever age he is. And that is crazy to me. But there's also, outside of the communication aspect of it, there's a little bit of the safety thing too, right? Like, it's an easy way to contact mom and dad if something's going wrong. Whereas especially when you were a kid, but when I was a kid too, it was use the house phone to call your friend, use the house phone to call home for them to pick you up, or they don't have any way to contact you unless they know the numbers of where you're going. So it was way different, but yet the safety issue feels more important now.
Ask me how much screen time I had when I was young. Yeah, I think you know the answer.
Isaac Rupp, how much screen time did you have when you were a youngin'?
I was climbing a tree, man. I was playing wiffle ball in the backyard, bro. Simpler time. Put the phone down, man.
I had the best of both worlds. I really did. Because the...
You were a hybrid.
Yeah, the technology didn't really start popping until I was a preteen. So I as a very young kid, I played outside all the time. You know, we'd play football and baseball out in the front yard and use telephone poles as end zones. And we'd play freeze tag and manhunt and all that kind of stuff. And then TVs and video games got big, and I was able to enjoy that, too. It was
nice. I tell you what, man, cell phone addiction is very real. But I think kids, as we continue on with technology, are going to calibrate back the other way. In other words, I think they're going to be better about handling it all, especially as more research comes out about it, than initially. Because I think just right after you were born, those people are like it's like the first frontier. You know, you didn't really know. You just did it, and it was cool. It's like, I'm going to keep doing this. Badass. But I think there's more balance as we learn more. Hey, final story. An Oregon woman lived 99 years with backwards organs.
Wait, say that again? You said backwards organs?
No, I said backwards organs. Her organs.
I'm pretty sure you said an Oregon woman lived with backwards organs. And I was like, what?
That'd be amazing. But no, an Oregon woman, this is amazing too, lived 99 years with organs that were backwards. And she didn't know it.
Well, if they're all backwards, then aren't they the right way?
So it's called, what? It's called situs inversus. And organs are a mirror image of where they should be. It often has life-threatening cardiac ailments and other abnormalities. An OHSU expert estimated only 1 in 50 million people are born with this and live long enough to become adults. 1 in 50 million live long enough to become adults. This woman was 99. Now, here's the thing. Her name was Rose Marie Bentley. And she resided...
That's a really cool name, by the way.
It is a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
She lived in Malala. And she had a very normal life. And after she died, her body became part of a class at the University of Portland where they were examining her heart. Okay? So they're examining her heart for scholastic purposes. And the guy leading the class noticed that blood vessels were a little bit different. So they opened the abnormal cavity and they saw that all the other organs were on the wrong side of her body. Fascinating. So they contacted the family. Long story short, nobody ever knew it.
Okay. So backwards organs.
Yeah.
Wrong side of the body.
Again, yeah. It mirrors. Yeah. It's like
okay.
Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense. And the reason I said if they were all backwards, then it would be fine is because I was thinking, well, if they're all the wrong way, then they're still connected correctly inside the body. But you're right. In terms of the way the heart works, that would not be good.
Right. Can't be that bad. She made it to 99. She did have a few ailments later in her life. Wow. Did we just run out of news music?
We did.
Oh, damn it. Well, anyway, rest in peace. What was her name? Rosemarie Bentley.
Don't forget that name. It's a great name.
All right. Well, that's in the news September 6th. Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.